Our scripture reading for this lesson is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Here is where Paul, in his last letter, is writing to Timothy, and he says these words, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Paul tells Timothy three things in these verses that we just read. So let's set our minds on the words of this passage. Let's apply these words to our life and learn as much as we possibly can from them. The first thing that Paul tells Timothy in verse 6 is to stir up the gift of God. What is the gift of God in verse 6? Well, it's not salvation, because Paul says that this gift of God was in Timothy by the putting on of my hands. So Paul put his hands on Timothy, and Timothy received this gift. Well, that's not how a person receives salvation in the first century. So he's not talking about salvation or forgiveness of sins when he talks about this gift of God. This is not some kind of natural ability that Timothy had. Now, there were people then, like there are people today, who are born with certain talents and abilities. But again, this ability that Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 that he calls the gift of God is not some kind of inborn trait, because Paul again says that Timothy got this gift by the putting on of Paul's hands. So this is not a natural ability. It's not the common salvation that is given to Christians. This is a miraculous gift. We're not told exactly what it was or exactly what it involved, but we know that Paul named 9 miraculous gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, gifts like prophesying, working of miracles, speaking in tongues, and other gifts. Paul said that he imparted this gift to Timothy by the putting on of his hands. Now, there are some passages that do shed light on what we're looking at here, and one of them is Acts 8, verse 18, where the Bible says that it was through the laying on of the apostles' hands that these miraculous abilities of the Holy Ghost were given. So Acts chapter 8, verse 18 is a very important passage to keep in mind when you're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And this also, of course, sheds light on what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, where he talks about this gift that Timothy had, and he mentions the laying on of the hands of the eldership. And the laying on of the hands of the eldership in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, does not refer to the putting on of hands that Paul is talking about here. Timothy received this miraculous gift by the putting on of Paul's hands because Paul was an apostle. But in 1 Timothy 4:14, where he's talking about the laying on of the elders' hands, he's talking about them laying hands on Timothy to appoint him to the work that Timothy was about to do. Now notice in verse 6 that Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God. This means that Timothy had a choice in using it. He was to stir it up. He was to put it to use. He was not to let it sit around, and he was certainly not to neglect it. So again, going back to 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, notice what the Bible says about this miraculous gift. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul told Timothy not to neglect this gift. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "I want you to stir up this gift." So this means, and this has to follow, that people in the first century who had these miraculous gifts had a part in how they were used. Here we find that Timothy, in 2 Timothy and in 1 Timothy, is told 2 times to use this gift. Well, if Timothy didn't have any choice in it, If this gift was just given to him and then it was just exercised without his free will, then Paul wouldn't have told him, don't neglect it, but do stir it up. And this is even more interesting, I believe, when you come to 1 Corinthians 14, because in verses 26 through 33 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is giving instructions to the tongue speakers and the prophets in the church at Corinth. And he plainly told the tongue speakers that there was a time for them to speak and there was a time for them to be silent. And he also told the prophets to speak in order. And if one of the prophets was prophesying, and that means he was speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but if one of those prophets was speaking, but something was revealed to another that was sitting next to him, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the first prophet was to hold his peace. So this means that the tongue speakers and the prophets in the early church could start the use of that gift and they could stop the use of that gift. This means that they were not under some kind of uncontrollable trance. They were not so carried away with the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit that they had lost their senses. They had control and they were to use self-control. Now, the second thing that Paul tells Timothy is in verse 7, and here he tells Timothy not to be afraid. He says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The spirit of fear here is not some kind of evil spirit. This is not a demon. The word spirit here means a mindset. It means a disposition. It means a frame of mind. Now, it's natural to be afraid at times. It's good and even necessary to be afraid of some things in life. But we should not be afraid as a rule of life. We should not be afraid as an ongoing state of heart. We should not go around being afraid all the time. What the Bible does say is that we're to fear God more than we fear man. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew 10, verse 28. We are not to be afraid to do God's will. Do you remember the story of the parable of the talents? The Bible talks about that one talent man who told the Lord as his excuse for not doing anything with the talent he had, "I was afraid." Matthew 25, verse 25. He was so afraid of doing too much, he was so afraid of failing, that he ended up doing too little. And this is exactly what is being talked about in Revelation 21, verse 8. There the Bible says that the fearful shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That doesn't mean that if you've ever been afraid of anything in your life, that you're doomed to hell. What that does mean is that a man who is more afraid of men than he is God, and he's therefore afraid of doing the will of God, that's the person that's being considered in Revelation 21, verse 8. Paul says, God did not give us this spirit of fear. That means God does not want us to be afraid of doing his will. So if God didn't give us this mindset of fear, where does it come from? If we find that we have this unnecessary fear in our lives, where did it come from? It came from ourselves. It came from our unbelief, our lack of faith, or our weak faith. What the Bible tells us in verse 7 is that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he does give us power. God does give us ability and strength and courage and resolve. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31, that even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, the Bible says that Christians are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God gives us strength. Now, Timothy may have especially needed this kind of encouragement. Paul told the brethren at Corinth that if Timothy came, he was to be with them without fear. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10. Now, the second thing that Paul mentions in verse 7, that God wants us to have, and that God does give us, he does not give us fear, but he does give us power, and he does give us love, a spirit of love. Now, I believe that a great commentary on what we're looking at here is found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. John said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. A state of fear will not exist when we love as we should." Now, a person might have a problem with anxiety because of some kind of medical condition, but that's not the chosen state of fear that we're talking about. The Bible says that if we do have the kind of love that we should, we will not have fear as a general state of mind. And according to verse 17, we especially will not be afraid of the judgment. We'll be bold in the day of judgment. Number three, Paul says God did not give us a mindset or an attitude of fear, but he did give us a spirit or a mindset of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, sound mind here means self-control. And it could also involve good judgment and clear thinking. Fear keeps us from thinking clearly. But God gives us a sound mind, not a fearful, troubled heart, because we're the ones responsible for putting fear and anxiety in our souls. God gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The third thing that Paul talked to Timothy about, which you and I can learn from as well, is in verse 8. And that is, he told Timothy not to be ashamed. He said, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." That is, don't be ashamed of Jesus' testimony. Don't be ashamed of Jesus' doctrine. Paul wasn't. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Romans 1, verse 16. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore will be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So Paul said, don't be ashamed of the gospel that you're preaching, and don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. It's sad that there were Christians, there were brethren in the first century who were ashamed of the Apostle Paul. They were ashamed of him being in prison. So here's Paul awaiting execution, and some people, some brethren in the church were ashamed to go see him. This is what Paul says just a little bit later in 2 Timothy 1, verse 15, when he says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." On the other hand, he said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." So Paul says, Timothy, don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And don't be ashamed of me because I'm suffering. I'm in prison for preaching that gospel. But he said, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. This is a major theme in this book. It's a part of being a Christian. And as Paul later says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution."